My name is Chad.
My name is Chad.
My name is Chad.
I just heard banging down there.
I heard that! I'm officially lost my cool.
Gentlemen, welcome to Tuesday Night with North London Paranormal Investigations Radio, US of A. Tonight we have on special guest Samantha Mason from PSH Radio. And before I do that, she's going to join us probably in about a half hour now. Let me bring on my co-host, the one and only Mo Gunnery. Oh, before I bring on Mo, I just wanted to say I purposely played that for Mo. Mo, I purposely played that for you.
Can you? Oh, it's too late to bleep this out. Fuck you. Just. Why do you have to bring him up? I mean, I think he's brilliant. I like him, but you know what? The dude is the most scared person on the planet. It's not even funny how afraid of life that guy is. I can imagine him standing in a McDonald's asking for a burger, getting a gherkin on his burger and absolutely wigging out because he's got a gherkin on it and just, you know, panicking. And do you know what the best part about the entire clip that you played is when he goes, whoa, all right. And he seems very happy that he's heard something that's really, really mortifying to him. And he tries to pretend that he's got some balls, but he hasn't got balls.
But, dude, I was out. Yeah, I was sitting there going through, like, you know, how you go through the thing. I'm going through, like, the studio, and I'm looking at, like, all the sound bites, clips, and everything else. I'm going, Jesus Christ, dude, I think I got some sort of dysfunction with putting stuff up and just not knowing how to erase it. And then I noticed, like, I found some soundboard stuff from with the guys from Truth Paranormal, and they were using the studio. And they have, like, Lorraine Warren for 3 seconds, Yvette Fielding, Zach Bagans, and Derek Okora. And, dude, I was trying to play it, and for some reason, I guess it didn't, whenever they were trying to upload it, it didn't upload right. But, dude, that's what I was going to do, the intro with, like, Yvette Fielding and Lorraine Warren or something like that, just for shits and giggles. But, yeah, man, how's your week going, dude?
Oh, my God. Planning the project for Friday.
Are you going to Wales, right?
Yeah, we're going to a place in Wales, and where we're going is so remote that everything I take has to be streamlined, and I'm not a person to streamline. If I've got equipment to take, like if, say, for instance, we're going to an orphanage, for instance, a decent-sized orphanage, I'll take absolutely every single thing, including batteries, and I'll take about 80 batteries just to make sure I've got enough. Right? I can't do that this time. And you know when you go on holiday and you're trying to plan what you should take? You're trying to plan what you should take. You're thinking, right, okay, I'll take shorts, a T-shirt, 2 T-shirts, 5 T-shirts. I'll take those shoes, I'll take this. And then before you know it, you've got yourself a pretty much, you're set up with what you need, but it's never enough. That's me right now trying to work this shit out, right? having to make sure I've got enough battery. Dude, I'm taking Kinect. Okay, right. Four video cameras, six illuminators, a battery to power the illuminators that I will be using, which are the bigger ones, Kinect, okay. A laptop, all the tripods, all the camera mounts, the shoulder rig for one of the other cameras, what else is there? Laser grids, the tripod for the Kinect. I'm taking so much, and I've got to be able to get it on my shoulders, or on my shoulder, dude, and the two.
I'm pulling for you, man, to do the brick and ladder successfully, man, because to bring all that and you something happens to the ladder.
Yeah.
You're shit out of luck, dude.
My attitude to the way this is going on Friday, right, is if the ladder fails, yeah, it won't be down to me, and I'll be still climbing up that broken fucking ladder. I'm warning you. I am coming in there. I'm getting out there. I'm going to do it properly. Fuck anybody who gets in my way. I'm not letting them get in my way.
All you need, the best thing about it is, though, for the brick part, you don't have to worry about the ginger on your team, because he could just reach out and just punch through the window, man.
He could look a door open. He could literally, I think he could look a wall out the way, just give it a stare in the wall, go, shit, all right, I'll move. There ain't nothing, I'll move. But no,
he'll use his ginger powers. Brad will use his ginger powers, and man, all the windows just implode.
Do you know what? It's more Aaron. I'm more concerned about Aaron on this one, because he's very tense at the moment, just because, I don't know,
it's just the way he works, that's all.
Gypsy fighting season, I don't know. So I'm a little bit tense at the moment because of him.
Hey, I haven't heard from him in a while. We were going at it tooth and nail, like freaking it's funny. It's like with Aaron, it's great. It's like you go at him. I mean, dude, you go at him, he will go at you tooth and nail just because he wants to draw you out. And of course, I'm going to take the bait. Every fucking time I take the bait, and then I just start going at him, I get very personal. You know, he gets personal, I get personal. But then sometimes it's like 20 minutes later, it's like, how you feeling, dude? Good, man. I'm doing, everything's all right. You know, and it's just always.
That's just the way he's rolled like that since I was a child. We used to be horrible to each other. We'd say things, we'd mess around. He grabbed me by my shoulders once on the playground in school, and he ran as fast as he could with me facing backwards, right? That had disaster written all over it. He knocked me out, flat out cold, on the floor, thinking, what the fuck's going on here? And it was like, right, okay, I came round, I was like, that was weird. He was like, yeah, I've messed up that. Do you want to go and get something to eat? Right, let's go, come on, let's go. Do you want to go to our dinner? That was just the way it was, the way we've always been.
But with somebody like Aaron, you can trust the guy. You know he's got your back, as Brad does too. Yeah. I mean, those are two guys that, dude, I would look at as I'd want my back any day of the week, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the way I look at things. Because, they'll fuck with you, they'll fuck with you, they'll fuck with you. But the best part about it, though, something happens to you, it's like, We're not going to let Mo, this is not going to go down this way, you know? I look at both those guys as being just proper fucking guys, like stand-up guys.
I can rely on them when it comes to it, always. But you know, if I was to fall over, do you know which one of them would put the hand out to help me?
Neither.
None. They'd fucking just laugh and get cameras out and start taking photographs. It's happened before.
Boys will be boys, right?
Motherfuckers. Yeah, no. Yeah. The both of them are terrible for it. So I wear it very lightly. But yeah, as I said, the hardest part about my week has been streamlining all my equipment and charging batteries. Okay. I wouldn't mind. Every camera has two batteries. I have got a bedside table upstairs, or the chest of drawers is absolutely covered with chargers, batteries. I've got new walkie talkies, which are 5-watt walkie talkies. I've got to have a license to use them in Britain, apparently.
Did you get the license?
I might do.
Never mind. One day. Let's not talk about that on air.
I don't give a fuck. That's the worst he can do.
Okay, cool.
Do you know what?
It,
The only thing I can, there's nobody, like, this is the way it is in Britain. You need a license to use a certain type of walkie-talkie, because anything that's over 4.9 watt or above is classed broadcast law. Like, because it's so powerful.
Oh, and it...
They're like 25.
I was just going to say, use them around an Air Malaysia flying around, you know? You'd be pretty safe right there.
Dude, do you know what the worst part is, right? I genuinely think that where we're going on Friday, that if I fuck up or fall over, right, I could just message my wife off the thing. I could probably go, Natalie, I fell over. And she'd be like, oh, you're silly. And that's how... It's got stupid range. But you need an Ofcom license or a broadcast license. And I'm like, okay. And the application form comes in the box. I'm like, oh, that was nice, obvious. Doesn't mean I'm filling it in. Definitely doesn't mean I'm paying for no fucking license for them. They're going to get used probably twice. And that'll be it. I'll probably break one of them and move on to something else.
Well, it's like a ham radio, you know? It's just like kind of like guys that sit in their base. Like now, I mean, people sit in their basements with computers and do all their shit. But you always got the weird guys, you know, the freaks of the world that are like always like ham radioing each other across the world and shit like that, you know?
I find that
hilarious, man.
I've got guys who, there's a guy who comes into our work, and there's a few guys who do, but this one, he stands out more than most. He'll come in, and because I know a little bit about a little bit where CBs and scanners are concerned, more due to having to know because of my job, they'll ask me a question, and I'll say, oh, well, maybe I'd do it this way. I've got no interest in it whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, it is like text messages for 90-year-old people. It's pointless. And I just like to go, well, I've got this radio, and it's made by this company, and what I can do with it is I can switch this switch, and it'll do this. I'm like, okay. Congratulations. If I had a gold star or a lucky button, I'd give you it. You're fucking weirdo. But it's just they go too far. Like, one of them goes, I managed to get as far as Madrid. I'm like, wow, congratulations. What happened? Just, you know, humouring him. And he went, well, I spoke, and then someone spoke back, and we talked for half an hour. I'm like, okay. Other than the radio that you're on, what else in your life do you have to talk about? Could you sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, what happened was me and my wife. No, because you haven't got a wife. You will not have a wife. If you have ham radio, you haven't got a wife. If you have amateur radio, you have no wife. You come home, you wire a radio up to the fucking mains or whatever you do, and you just sit there and talk to creepy men across the world. It is like a creepy men.
That's not that illegal. The illegal sex trade works by like ham radio operators.
Hang on. My wife just started verbally abusing me. What did you say? Pretty much like me. Yeah. Thank you very much. You and your fluffy little minion on the couch. Enjoy yourselves. But yeah, no, it's just like they all just
epic,
like, congregate. They congregate on the airwaves and talk about radios. It's honestly, that's like, oh, it's pointless. It's like, oh, fuck, I don't even care. It's their own fault for being idiots. But
as long as they spend money.
Do you know what the best part is?
As long as they spend money and you can mark it off as your sale, it's all good.
Do you know what the best part is, right? I could say whatever the fuck I wanted about a ham radio enthusiast, right? Because I know he's never going to hear me because he's too busy talking on his radio in his basement. So I'm confident he hasn't even got a fucking computer. If he found the internet, I'm pretty sure his ham radio would go in the bin because he'd learn how to message people. What is this email you speak of? Fuck. Nevertheless, I'm going to move on. What was your week like?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of in that.
How's your week?
Man, my life, dude, I swear to God, man. I'm sitting there trying to, like, look at all my gear, right? I'm trying to, like, I'm toying. I'm toying with a full-spectrum camera, but I don't want to spend $150 on it. I want to do it myself. So I found an old, I had a Bell Howell, you know, infrared camera, which is a piece of shit. I mean, you know, it's your basic piece of shit. And I took it all apart, and I broke it the first time. So I was like, fuck it, it stayed broke. So I watched a couple videos on YouTube on how to do it, and I'm unscrewing it, and I'm going, it looks nothing like the guy had. The guy was playing with a Fuji on, like a cheap Fuji he got for. He's an English guy. He got it for, like, let's say £20, he said, and they're easy to work because it's got that piece of glass right there, the square piece of glass.
Yes, that's right.
the polarizer. Do you take that off or do you keep that on?
Remove it.
You take it off.
The piece of glass that's got like a weird purple hue to it, you take that off and replace it with either a piece of glass or a piece of plastic that's translucent but the same size. Or if you want to convert it to true night vision or true infrared, replace it with a piece of exposed film, you know, like photography film.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what, and I was like, hold on, Mo, just, it's weird because I was like, because it was like the same day you told me about it. I just, fuck everything. Where I'm at. I was looking, I was checking the video out, and I'm like, hold on, Mo told me that. He goes, what you do is just go find some old film, like, you know, where they throw it in, or like, negatives, and just clip off the ends of a negative where the full picture isn't there. Something, he said something. I could,
Where it's been exposed. In other words, the very beginning and the very end, the entire of a reel of film is waiting to be exposed. Now, when you run a film through a camera and then you pass it to the camera shop will then expose it, which exposes the image. And then the exposed image is then turned from a negative into a positive, then printed out. Now, the part in between each shot is exposed, but there's nothing there. And it is literally perfect infrared filter. Like, I'm talking, there's no way it could be any more perfect of an infrared filter, to a point where if you, as I said to you, Kurt, last week, and for people who were listening that didn't hear the conversation, which was everybody in the world except for Kurt, you can look at a bottle of Pepsi, you can look at a bottle or a glass of Pepsi with a camera that's converted to full night vision and see through it like it's water. And it's the same as, do you know Bailey's Irish Cream?
Yeah.
The bottle that is, it's a black bottle, yeah? It'll see through the black bottle like it's just plain glass. Weird.
Cool. Dude, that's awesome. You can walk me through what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect you to like FaceTime and just put the camera facing what I need to do and have you walk me through it, dude, because that's the only way I could do it without fucking it up.
I can't work fucking miracles. You kidding me? No, we'll do it. We'll get this. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Then I'm down here looking at my dad's camera. He just got back from they were down in Chile and they were in the Galapagos and all that. They were just doing this is what they do. And he's got like a $900 German Leica camera. So I get online. Fucking
hell.
Like, oh, I wonder, you know.
You don't have a Leica?
I look at it. A Leica cam. It's a brand name. And I get online. The first one I see is $6,500.
Yep.
He said he paid $900 for his.
No, we never.
It's Leica camera Germany. It's all handmade.
That's what he's telling you, so you don't get angry at him for spending that much money.
And not leave any to me.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, all those pictures disappeared. I gave him a card, a disc, whatever the fuck you call it, and an SD card, and that's 32 gigabytes. I said, listen, you get about 4,000 to 5,000 shots on this, as long as you don't use video. So that's cool. So he goes to upload it. All his pictures are gone because he hit the wrong button, dude. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out.
Right.
I'm going to take it to my house.
I can fix that for you.
Is there any way to save it?
Yeah, there's an easy way to save it. Message me after the show and I'll talk you through how to save it. But what it is when you think that you've deleted. Sorry, I was eating a biscuit. That was really rude. When you think you've deleted an image off a camera, or when you think you've deleted everything, even down to stuff on your computer, you haven't. The computer cuts the beginning, little sliver off the beginning, and a very small sliver off the end, okay?
Okay.
And what it does is, because the computer can't see a beginning or an end, it writes over it, if it ever get asked to write. So if you haven't put anything else onto that card, or taken anything else off, or tried anything with the card, you haven't formatted it, you haven't done anything, then it's all salvageable. So don't worry.
Yeah, well, I think my dad fucked it up because he said he put it in, and then it said yes or no, and he hit the wrong one. But I'm looking.
He needs to give you that camera. you fucking need that camera. I'm being serious. You take that out an investigation, right? You could probably see into the fucking future. Cameras like that are absolutely amazing. So much fun.
He takes his cameras fucking serious, man. It's weird. I know we're getting away from the paranormal and stuff. What about the news, man? We got something pretty funny, actually, don't we?
We've got a bit of a weird one. We've actually got a... give me a second. I can't get my fucking mouse to work out. What, do you remember what the first piece of news was? But I mentioned two pieces of news. The first piece I can't remember.
Wasn't it the Ouija board? The house that burned down?
Oh, shit, yeah. I thought... I went as far as thinking it was funny until I realised that... it wasn't that funny when you realised that the headline says mother and daughter are critically ill following a house fire hours after a Ouija board session predicted their death. And you know when you look at something with a little tiny bit of hindsight and think, oh, shit, maybe we should not pick this one, but let's just roll with it anyway. A 60-year-old woman and a daughter are critically...
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go on, go.
It's that they're critically ill, but it's just kind of odd. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. I didn't read it, the whole thing.
I'll read it out, and then I'll tell you something which appeared slightly afterwards, right? A 60-year-old woman and a daughter are critically ill in the hospital following a fire at the home, which happened hours after the Ouija board session reportedly predicted their deaths. Margaret Carroll and Katrina Livingston, who was 37, are now being treated in hospital after the fire near Consett, County Durham, on Saturday. It is alleged that they used the Ouija board to contact their dead dog in the evening before the fire, which was discovered at around 8:45 on Saturday. First problem I've got with this, right? What the fuck is a Ouija board going to say to a dog?
That's what I was thinking that. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, just humor me on this one. Sit. My dog's fucking useless. I could tell him to sit 60 times and he's just going to look at me as if to say, you're saying what? I'm sorry, I speak dog. Plus I'm a shih tzu, so I'm probably Chinese and can't speak English anyway. And it's fucking, I don't know. Nevertheless, I'm going to move on, right, before it turns out I'm being blocked off of being racist or something towards me dog. According to the Northern Echo newspaper, the daughter told the neighbour Donna Sowerberry about the session and how it predicted their death. Mrs. Sowerby, at 30 years of age, said that the fire was right the way through the property. It was horrible. There was a mini explosion as one of the firefighters was blown back. The women are the wife and stepdaughter of a man who admitted dismembering a dog after they first claimed it died when it was possessed following a Ouija board session. So the dog was possessed. This is one of those weird little creepy families, I think. Paul Carroll, 51, will be sentenced later this month for causing unnecessary suffering to an animal. Durham police spokeswoman said that two women, aged 60 and 37, were taken into the University Hospital in North Durham, where they were both remained in critical condition and are under arrest on suspicion of arson with the intent to endanger life. We are not looking for anybody else in connection with this incident, and it is understood that their condition in the hospital is not linked to the fire. Shit, that's a bit weird, isn't it? First things first, PSH.
Definitely strange for the news story, but first off, the way I look at it is, if there's cruelty to animals involved in it, fuck them. That's what I say. First off, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? It's karma kicking you in the nuts. Second, somebody was probably smoking a cigarette or threw it, you know, or didn't put it out correctly or put it on their carpet, which I'm sure had beer stains, piss stains, and cigarette stains. Ashes all over it.
Cretins.
They're fucking cretins, man. I swear to God, they're one up from Pikey's. But you know, and then dismembering the dog.
Do you know what's weird, though, right? I'm looking at this story, and the first, last, and only thing I can see is two weird fuckers whose weird fucker dad / husband killed their sad, unfortunate dog and dismembered them. And then the two weird fuckers decided to get out a Ouija board, which is going to tell them they're going to die, which was probably one of them feeling guilty for being weird. Then all of a sudden the house catches fire. Then they're both in hospital in critical condition, with according to the very last line of it, it is understood that their condition in hospital is not linked to the fire. So if it wasn't linked to the fire, okay, but this is what I don't get. If it wasn't linked to the fire, they're in critical condition in hospital, they've gone to do a Ouija board session, right? And the house has caught fire. Do you know what that says to me? One of the crazy little weird people probably got a lot more ketamine than she thought, took it, decided life wasn't worth living, tried to smoke the house, tried to kill whoever it was, didn't go well, probably tried to overdose, didn't go well, And you know what? In the midst of all this whirlwind craziness, there's a poor little dog which, for no apparent reason, seems to have been killed for, again, no apparent reason. But I'm only going by what is in this story.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to call him a resident skeptic on my Hidden Liverpool group. He's an old friend from a long while back. He's into the paranormal, but I think he's into it more from a skeptic's point of view. He is the dude who will debunk everything. He's that guy. But I don't mind that guy being there because he gives you a little bit, sometimes a healthy alternative to what you actually may perceive as being paranormal. So we kind of meet.
Well, yeah,
you kind of meet people like that every once in a while. And he said that he read right the way to the bottom. He read it again. And I think the exact way he worded it on the group was, from all I can tell is two crazy bastards tried to kill themselves. And you know what, right? I kind of agree with him there. As much as it's sad people have tried to hurt themselves, that's humans, you don't do that. It's the first thing you could do is, oh, hang on a second, they touched the Ouija board a few hours before, which then in turn caused the house to catch fire, which then in turn caused them to end in hospital. No. That doesn't mean that because I drive a car to the shops and then get out of the shops, go into the shops, and a can of beans falls on me and knocks me out cold, it doesn't mean me driving the car caused it. Because the car was
not
totally it. No, not. So I think that basically it's Ouija boards that all of a sudden the status quo, it's all of a sudden the in thing. So everybody and the dog, no pun intended, of course, everybody and the dog is involved. When they see a story, he seems to get involved and thinks, oh, yeah, that was the Ouija board, that. I won't touch Ouija boards. That's a fact. I will never touch a Ouija board. If I can keep my hands away from a Ouija board, I will do. But that's more because I do not think you should play with the devil. And it was something I was taught by family from when I was young. You do not play with the devil. I have walked away from people who've had Ouija boards or pulled one out and gone, let's have a Ouija board or spirit board session, as they call it. And I walked straight away. I went, nope, not involved. See you later. Have a good day. So I'm a bit 50-50 on them, to be fair. That's my biblical, evil, spirit board, Ouija, whatever rant it is. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 quick pieces of news. I've got to read them out. I've got to read them out quickly. And Samantha, I know you're waiting to come on, but do you want to bring her on?
No, we'll read a couple out, and we'll bring her on. Is she in the chat room?
Yes, she's here. She's in the chat room. I'm going to be very quick.
Hey,
with
what's up, Samantha? How you doing? We'll get you on in one sec. Call on in. Skype on in. All right, go ahead, dude.
Right, okay. Google has got a new project called Project Tango. Yay, everybody. High five yourselves. You don't know what I'm talking about. I understand that. I'll make it easy for you. Structured light sensor built into a tablet and built into a phone. Again, high five. A structured light sensor is Kinect. So SLS XCam, which is a camera strapped to the front of a tablet, strapped to a handle, strapped to a battery. Not needed no more. There's a tablet out now, is coming out soon, and a phone, which will both do exactly the same. Whether they will give you the skeletal framework, I'm not 100% sure. Will it be possible about 3 weeks after it's been made? Of course, somebody's going to do it. So yeah, it's called Project Tango. Keep your eyes on that. Microsoft have released something else out at the moment. They didn't even announce it, which is the weird part about it. They just released it at a press conference and went, oh, there you go, guys. It's something called the HoloLens, which is like imagine virtual reality goggles or Oculus Rift, if you know what that is. But this works along the same basis as what's called augmented reality. When you look through HoloLens, which is like a glass, it projects onto the glass. Say, for instance, if you're looking at a table, it'll project the castle onto the table. No matter how much you wiggle or move your head, the castle stays on the table in your line of sight. Now, for those people who think, what the hell's that got to do with the paranormal? Right now, nothing. Probably 3 weeks after it's released again, somebody's going to get onto the fact that a piece of equipment which gives you capabilities of extrasensory, something that'll give you another perception of what's going on could be perfect. You could look at, say for instance, you could say to it, what I want you to do is I'm going to integrate a thermometer, or I'm going to integrate an infrared night vision camera. What I want you to do is I want you to highlight when you see movement. I want to integrate a thermometer and the EMF meter and everything and give me a readout in front of my eyes and tell me where and what. If you had a imagine you had a thermometer which could read a blanket of heat in front of you, and then all of a sudden there's a change in a 3 foot wide spot, and all of a sudden you see what that change is. You physically get a readout on a screen in front of your eyes as you're walking. Something like that. I think there's a lot of potential behind that, and I cannot wait to see what it is. But it's more holographic than anything. But I just think that maybe in about a year's time, it comes out at the end of the year, and maybe in a year's time, yeah, in other words, given it like 3 months after it's been made, I think there's going to be some advances. I've just, you know, when you can just, you know, if you look at progression, that's the next thing forward. Is effectively, imagine, you'd feel like the fucking Iron Man of paranormal investigating. You've got all these different applications that you can use off this one little piece of equipment called the HoloLens. So, yeah, look out.
How much is it going to go for?
Oh, God. It's going to be very expensive because it's not an attachment to a PC. It is effectively a PC. It's got three things in there. It's got a GPU, which is a graphics processor, like a graphics card in the PC. It's got a CPU, which is a central processor, which might as well be the brain of the PC. And it's got something called a HPU, which is a holographic processor, which is what takes care of whatever holographic framework it throws on where it does and keeps it at that point no matter where your head sits. So, also as well, you can Skype in on it, which is really cool. You can Skype it, which I like that. That is a bit of a simple but amazing little achievement by Microsoft, but we'll keep our eyes on that one. Next one, or I'll do the next two in one go. Sleek Thermal, something Kate was looking at a few weeks ago. It's an attachment for the bottom of your Android or your iOS phone, or your Apple phone, sorry. And what it is it's a thermal camera which connects to the base of your phone, like the FLIR one that everyone seems to be getting all excited about right now. The Sleek Thermal is £150 or $199. It attaches as a secondary camera, and it'll give you the readout, a thermal image, effectively. And there's a new one, which is just for Apple as well, called MU Optics Thermal Camera. It's a case for your phone, and that thing's $150. Difference
oh,
between
hold on.
Them...
What's it called but, again?
The MU Optics.
MU Optics?
MU, so letter M, letter U, hyphen Optics.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. Hold on.
You'll end up with one of the, I can guarantee you'll end up one at the end of the week.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely going to. Well, there's the thing is, though, also, I just read a review comparing the FLIR 1 versus the, Sleek? They gave higher ratings to the spec. They gave higher ratings to the second one over the FLIR. And also what people are doing is, I'm noticing this, is they've also put out a new filter you can put on over that little piece that connects to your cell phone. And they're selling that bitch for like $74. And I was like, whoa. And just to give it a better view. But see, my only thing is, I'd love to own a FLIR. If I ever got the money, I'd love to own a FLIR. But, I mean, to get something like this, a Sleek, you'd have to sit there and I wonder how far it could actually see. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to have the same distance handheld FLIR.
I know what you're saying. You're saying there's going to be a limitation. Now, I can understand there's going to be a limitation. I can understand the limitation. It's not going to be as good as this one thermal imaging camera I was looking at before was $30,000, right? And it was taking images which are 640 by 480 in resolution. To give you an idea, that was digital cameras back in 2099, for instance. It was just like the smallest, simplest image. Now, the one that I'm looking at now, which is this MU Thermal, it connects onto the iPhone. It gives you, right, it's only 160 by 120 resolution, which is a very basic resolution. But to be fair, you're not exactly trying to look at the whiskers on a cat's face from 10 miles away or 10 meters away. It gives you 30 frames a second video. It's got a full live viewing mode, so you can see what's going on as it's going on. And this has a little shocking feature called record. And quite a few of the ones you see out at the moment don't record properly. I was really surprised to find out this does actually share the image you take at the time. There's a share button. I think that's really, really... Do you know what? I wish something like this MU Optics thermal imager, I wish something like that was a little bit cheaper. And I know I'm being pedantic saying a little bit cheaper, but I just think if they squeeze it a little bit cheaper and put it into the range of the normal person, and not the person whose parents buy them an Audi for Christmas. I'm talking the type of person whose parents buy them a game for their Xbox for Christmas, where you could say, yeah, for instance, $100, say £70. And I know it's not coming anytime soon because the amount of technology that's needed to get a camera to do the job that does, it's quite an intense thing to mess around with. I just wish they would. I wish they'd do something with it. Do you know what? Somebody needs to sit down, look at mobile devices, look at the paranormal field in a whole, and think why and what and how can we make this work more for what we need. You know, you've got a mobile device in your hand, and I've always been against people using mobile devices on investigation, but as of late, I'm sort of eating my words a little bit because you've got, let's say, two microphones on an average smartphone, right? There's always two mics. So, for instance, the Galaxy phones, there's a microphone at the top and there's a microphone at the bottom. The iPhone's got a microphone on the back and a microphone on the bottom on the 5 and the 6. On the 4, it's got a microphone on the top and bottom. And they can record in what's called PCM format, which is wave format, lossless audio. You can buy a Zoom recorder, which will do that for £250, right? Your phone in your pocket is perfectly capable of doing that. The only problem I've got is it emits radio signal. So it'll kick off an EMF meter. It'll kick off a K2. It'll kick off everything around you. So I'm going to eat my words one more time. Set your phone to airplane mode. How simple a concept is that? Set it to airplane mode. And then all of a sudden you've got a piece of equipment in your hand, which is immense. I would never suggest trying to use it to measure magnetic EMF or anything like that. I'd suggest that maybe you've got two really good high-resolution cameras, two really good microphones for recording audio, and now all of a sudden you've got thermal, you've got a structured light sensor. Why the fuck are our bags so heavy when we go out investigating? There's going to be a day where somebody goes, right, the pass filter on a phone doesn't need to be there. Let's give people the option. This doesn't need to be there. Let's give them the option. Do you get what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I totally get what you mean.
I'm waiting for that day.
Well, one day it'll happen. The way I'm looking at it, I mean, I'm thinking back to what's coming out with Massimo and those guys.
God,
that was like kind of. I'm psyched for that. But that the Ghost Arc's going to be kick ass. I'm psyched just to get my hands on it and play with it for a while, and then sell it on eBay later.
I've got a plan. For that, I've had a little bit of a thought on it, right? As opposed to what I would normally do, where I'd use it, utilize it, use it for what I need, pull evidence with it, or whatever comes from owning it, come what may. My theory is I've got a video project which is going to be kicking off over the next couple of months. I'm going to see how long I can drag it out for. But my plan is I'm going to actually do an episode with more regards to the equipment that's used. So when this web project, it's literally going to be a small documentary series. When I get to a point where we've done a few investigations, I'm going to sit down and explain why people use the structured light sensor camera, why I think it's not perfect, why I think it is really good for what people use it for, and go through it all. And you know what? I'm going to try my damned hardest with the Ghost Arc to say, there's a fault, there's an issue, but in the same breath, there's an amazing piece of equipment because it does this, not because it does that. You get me?
Yeah, I totally understand, because you got to be honest about it. I mean, if they're putting out a product, and I know they know this already. I mean, this is part of their whole sales pitch that, you know, it's going to be quality, and it's got to be durable too. I mean, it's got to be, you know, that thing is going to be dropped more than once. I mean,
yeah,
you can't hope like hell, but, you know.
You know what?
Yeah, myself also.
It's not a negative press though, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
have you seen
but
it?
There's been some guy was slamming it one time. I posted it, and it's been getting negative press, but I mean, people are going to give negative press about any piece of equipment that comes out.
Yeah.
Let's say Bill Chappell comes out on, let's say you see it on one of the television shows. I mean, somebody's going to come out and totally bash it,
But,
oh, yeah.
You know, this is not even, they don't even have a prototype out here. How can you bash something that doesn't even have a prototype that you can see on YouTube to even have an idea about how this thing works? I mean, they got four engineers working on it, and I don't know. It's interesting. But let's bring Sam on. We got Sam right now.
Of course.
Samantha is from PSH Radio, and she has the absolute longest sign-in thing that absolutely no one's going to hack. I can tell you that right now. But let's bring her on real quick. She's coming fresh off the show, so let's see if we can talk her ear off, see how much she's going to talk.
Okay.
Oh, shit, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. One sec, Sam. Sorry.
Oh, you
Hello. Hello.
Eventually.
How you
eventually.
Doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're going in our usual rants. Mo?
Yeah. I've managed to stop talking for a few seconds and catch my breath. So apologies about the long delay of getting on, but I have a tendency of just going on crazy wild tangents about things. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming on. I mean, yeah. Happy little bunnies. Do you know what I've noticed? All you do is laugh.
It's because I'm nervous.
Okay. Hey, let me guess. Is this the first time you've been on the radio? No, I'm sorry.
It's my second guest appearance, so...
Well, don't worry about that. You haven't appeared anyway. We can only hear you. We can't actually see you. You don't need to worry. Sure. Nah, you'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen? Ow.
You'll get caught up in some scandal with us or something like that. You know?
Yep. We're going to drag you down with us.
We're going to drag you down. That's why we brought you on. We needed a female to throw under the bus with us. So when we all dive under the bus, you're going with us.
That's one way of doing it. So, anyway, what's new with you anyway?
Not a lot, really. Same old, same old.
That doesn't count. That does not count. There's got to be something
answered,
there. Yeah, that was a blanketed answer. Right, okay, investigations. Are you cracking on with them?
I haven't been on one since October.
What was that one?
Nottingham Castle and Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest. Good choice, actually. What was I going to say? Sherwood Forest. Well, Robin Hood wasn't buried
That's
there, was
where he? Robin Hood's from, right?
He's from there, but I don't think he was buried there, you know.
Don't know.
I think he was buried up these ways. Well, I say up these ways. He was buried by Bolton or Bradford, I think. I'm having one of those proper blonde moments, but as far as I'm aware, let me just check. Because we were going to investigate his grave. Can you just give me a second? See if I can... We literally, found it. That was dead hard. That was incredibly hard. So, nevertheless, here's a picture of his grave. I'm going to throw it up in the chat room. That was better. There you go. Massive, massive link for everybody to attack. But yet, I don't know. I've always looked at Sherwood Forest. I've always thought maybe I should have a go at Sherwood Forest, but it's just a little bit too far down the road for me. That's the only thing. Well, it's worse for you, Kev, but quite far for me, nevertheless.
I have to take both your words for it, so that's basically it. I'm right. You can tell me anything and I'll believe it.
Sound, Jerry? Oh, yeah, Batman was in Sherwood. No, can't do that to you. But, I mean, I'd love to look into something like that because of, obviously, the folklore behind them, but they could never prove he actually existed. That's the worst part about it. They know that Robin and Loxley existed, but they don't know that Robin Hood existed. So, my rant. Give me a second. Who's Chuck?
Is somebody just come on and then gone off again? He's on again now.
Apologies. Actually thought, because, like, up here, we say, like, you're right, Chuck, messing about to people. And then actually someone does turn up called Chuck. Hi, Chuck. And I offer your apologies. Sorry about that. Let's apologise my way. So, yeah. Nevertheless, right, we're having a radio show yourself and obviously following the paranormal in the way that you do. Is there anything that you've noticed recently which has changed, which shouldn't have changed, if you get me?
I can't really think, because I'd probably say that other paranormal teams hating on others, but that's always happened.
Other paranormal teams taking on what, sorry?
Hating on other paranormal teams.
You mean, like, joining up and all that?
No, like, hating one another, like, being jealous of each other. Sorry.
You're talking about lack of paranormal unity kind of deal.
Nah, I've got it, right? I've came in contact with people. I'm definitely going to get on this one now. I've came in contact with people as of late where they've said to me, because I actually do, I'm one of those people who believe that if somebody needs help with something, or if I can help somebody with them, I will help them. If it's something, maybe somebody's stuck or somebody doesn't know how to do something and I do, I'd rather help that person than obviously watch them fail. So I agree that maybe the unity thing, that's really useful. It's needed. If we don't have that, all you've got is a group of people running around in the dark, trying the hardest not to copy what the Joneses are up to, effectively. And I don't believe in that. So, no, I think you're 100% right on that. And it's sad because everyone should get along. But people, as you say yourself, people actually do have drama. And it's petty. It is actually really, really petty. But I don't know, sometimes you just can't change people. I know you shouldn't have to change people, but you can't change them if they want to be that way. You sort of, all you can do is just avoid them, sadly. But I don't know. I think TV is the worst thing for it, though, to be fair, because I mean, some of the shows on TV, I mean, there's that one with what's the dude's name? You know what I'm talking about, Kurt. The one you think I'm in love with, what's his name?
Oh, the one you got a man crush on? Chad Lindbergh.
Yeah, bro, Chad Lindbergh. Don't talk.
He's funny.
He's in the headlights. He's
Samantha,
I swear
to God, Mo has got a man crush.
No, it's
on
not
Chad
that.
Lindbergh.
I just think that if Scooby-Doo was in real life, he'd be Shaggy. That's it. I just feel so bad for him. The thing that dude would do for Scooby Snacks is beyond me. I think he's a nice guy, but I just don't think he should be in the paranormal field. I think he's too scared to be in the paranormal field. I think he should be a counsellor for a school or maybe a religious teacher, but I don't think he's ever gone into the paranormal. It's a bit worrying, to be fair. But I don't know. That show's produced by Nick Groff, as far as I'm aware.
Yes.
That's probably one of the best things about the show, is the fact that Nick Groff's got his hands into it, because he's obviously seasoned at what he does. He knows a lot more than Chad Lindbergh does, because Chad Lindbergh had the disease when he was 6 or something, Crohn's disease or whatever it was, and because he had Crohn's disease, he's now a paranormal investigator or whatever crazy ass excuse he's going to use for the reason he can investigate the paranormal. Fucking that, again, that's beyond me as well. But, I don't know, it's a bit of a battle to try and keep up with what's going on. But yeah, so how long's your show been running for now?
9 months.
9 months. How have you found it?
I'm getting there. Still it's hard. So, I was saying to Katie on Facebook the other day, because there's like so many other radio shows which are on Blog Talk. It's hard to get out there, isn't it?
So, no, well, you've got to, especially the same as me and Kate. Me and Kate are the worst for it, right? We'll plan a show. Probably a couple of days before sometimes. We used to be able to... we're fucking horrendous for it. We used to be able to plan it like weeks in advance and say, we know where we're up to on 2 weeks next Wednesday. And it was like, right, we got this. Now it's, well, shit, what are we doing tomorrow? It's terrible.
Give me an idea, I'll set it up.
Yeah, it just ends up with me going on a wild tangent about this person's opinion of... Or, you know, I've got this thing where the paranormal is concerned. Sometimes I find what some people say or what some people do, it rubbed me the wrong way, and I'll say, well, I don't, and I'll go on a wild tangent before I know it. It'll be 11 o'clock. We're just coming towards the three quarters into the show, and I've had a rant for the first 45 minutes about what piece of equipment I think doesn't work or what piece of equipment frustrates me. It's bit of a crazy one, like, but nevertheless. So, have you got a team now?
No.
No. Are you going to be building one up, or are you going to stay as
I'm going to stay as it is, just giving to other people.
Well, that's probably the best way as well, because you get to actually mingle. You get to meet people as well, don't you, doing it that way, which is Never a bad thing, to be fair, is it? I mean, you can always learn.
Yeah, because I was just going to add, this pretty much probably what you were going to say is just, you know, tagging along with different groups, you're just going to pull, like, you know, if you pull their best stuff from each group, it's just going to solidify you, too, as an investigator at the same time. I mean,
yeah,
basically, and stuff like that, instead of just, because what I've noticed, though, and we talked, and Samantha and I have been talking kind of back and forth, and she showed me a couple things that a couple people are up to these days, and I noticed that events are so much bigger in the UK than they are in the US. We have, like, you call them events, we call them paracons. You know, everybody's got a paracon. And now there's paracons where they're having people that I've never even heard of before. You know, I mean, I guess some big local author / investigator /... been on My Ghost Story caught on camera. That was an orb we saw, a spirit orb, as it was coming towards us.
Yeah.
We all ran out screaming.
This all sounds worryingly familiar. Jesus.
But you guys have a lot more of that, I think. And plus, Samantha, you too. I mean, you guys, both you and Mo, have it all going on with history. And to be able to say, hey, Sherwood Forest. And what was the other place you were saying, Samantha, that you went?
Nottingham Castle.
Nottingham Castle. You know, I can't fathom that. That's the thing that blows my mind when I talk to everybody from the UK, especially Mo too, you, Mo, is that I can't fathom that. I mean, I've been there, but I can't fathom just saying,
you missed it all, didn't you?
I swear to you, I missed it by how many generations? Because I'd be in... I'd be in Bedfordshire, I guess, because that's where I guess where all the sperm and eggs came from. We were actually part of the when King Harold came into England. That's where my people came. So I guess we were gypos in a way, but you know, in a roundabout way.
You've always been a fucking gypsy, you. Never changes.
Hey, I'm gonna read your palm after this show. I want 500 pounds, but I gotta buy a Leica camera from Germany, man. But
what a men's auntie.
I'll take it apart and ruin it, and I'll just be sitting there going, throw it against the wall, go on to my
I'll
next.
I'll be getting messages at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'll be hitting you up just as your kid for breakfast. But Sam, who'd you have? Let's tell us about your show. Let's hear about your show. What do you got? What's it about? You got yourself a little network running right now, don't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. That's all you're on. Tell us about it.
Obviously, it's when I first started, and you know who I first started it with. And it was like, it just got bigger and bigger once I got rid of that person. And
then
I had people coming to me saying, oh, well, we want to do a radio show in association with PSH Radio. And obviously they have their own names for their own shows, so then we just came up with Power Voice Network, because it looks more professional as well, instead of... So then all of us can be in association with Power Voice Network?
Yes.
That's cool. You have shirts, don't you?
Yeah, we have T-shirts.
They have T-shirts, Mom, that are cool as hell looking. We should get, like, T-shirts with us, like, giving the finger, or the British two fingers.
It
like, look like two cartoon characters going like that. I'll give the finger, and you give the two fingers.
The only problem with us getting T-shirts is, though, right, is when I go out on one of my really weird investigations, you get what's called guilt by association. You need to be careful with that, because you'll be affiliated with me and the shit that I get up to. So, personally... as much fun as what you're suggesting is a good idea, I'd probably drag you down with me, and I don't think you'd be my friend after that. I think we'd have a few problems.
I'll get my driver's license at St. Maurice Gunnery or something like that. And
you're only going to drag yourself
down.
When
they ask me for my ID next time, I'll and I figured
you'll have my name all over.
I think. Yeah, and I'll just say, you know, I say I grew up in Liverpool. I'll pull your address and everything else.
It'll bite you on the arse when they go, hang on a second, we've got previous for you. You're coming with us.
And then you'll
be, I said it'll only bite you on the ass when they say, hang on a second, we've got previous on you. You need to come with us. And I'll be sitting there pretty.
See, Samantha, see the abuse I get, Samantha? But there's always a good side to it, too. That if I'm having problems with the plugs in my house or anything electrical, I bug Mo at times. He's probably sound asleep. I'm the worst, Sam. It'll be right before he goes to bed. All right,
yeah.
You get a time where you chill, you relax, you go to bed. I go, now I'm going to hit him up, and then I'll be watching a boring-ass movie.
No yeah, joke. Like, listen to this. I'm going to read something out to you now, just so it's fresh in my mind. I'll read it out to you. I got messaged on Instagram last night at 4 o'clock in the morning. Somebody Instagrammed me over a picture I took, right? And then this dude, bear in mind, as far as I'm aware, was in somewhere like one of those weird places that's not Britain. The fuck is it? There we go.
Canada?
Singapore. No, it's Singapore. He's in Singapore.
What?
And he messaged me. Are you based in the UK? I hit Liverpool, right? And I replied at 4:10 a.m, right? I cannot remember replying to this message. I swear to God, I'm not just saying it to take the piss. I cannot remember. And I messaged them back. Yes, we are in LOVXDOOLIP. I just went on a fucking wig out mode, right? And I woke up this morning and I thought, I'm sure I got a ping last night. And I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, shit. I replied to it. I had to reply like 5 hours later, Liverpool. Just like, you know, kind of embarrassed. You know, like, I felt a bit of a fool about it. Like, you know, that's what happens with me and technology. I'll just not think and then just fucking do it. What a stupid thing to do. But I don't know. I think it's one of the biggest banes of our life is the fact that we're so easy to message at stupid o'clock in the morning. But I don't know. Keeps us on our toes. But nevertheless,
so
I am really. Sorry,
we're going to. Mo and I go basically, we chat through the app, WhatsApp. So we're going to hook up you, Samantha, with WhatsApp. So, like, when you're having insomnia one night, we'll go on a you and I will go on a let's ping Mo at 3 a.m. mode. Over to
I'm not up at 3 a.m., so.
So yeah, if you're having trouble sleeping, just let me know. Hit me up because I guess it'll be around, you know, 10 o'clock my time. And we'll ping Mo to the point where he's got to turn his phone off. It'll piss him off.
Don't you worry about pinging me at whatever time you want to ping me, like, Kit, because I swear to God I will find you. Right? You can't hide.
That's what
he's going to fucking warn you. You can't hide. I could drop a pin on you anytime.
Dude, I will wonder why. I'd be like, I just paid my cell phone bill. Why is it not working all of a sudden?
Yeah. That's weird. Why does my phone keep beeping? Why is it beeping? Why is it beeping more? Why is Morris at my front door with, like, some form of weapon?
Why am I getting these creepy-ass calls and shit?
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
That's me coming for you.
I won't do that. I'd ping you for an emergency or something, but other than that, I'll let you be.
I'm only playing.
It's all respected. It's all fun, dude. But we ping each other about. So Samantha, who'd you have on tonight? You were on earlier, and that's why I want to thank you very much for coming on, because I know 2 hours of a show after you're done, you're just like, sometimes you're toast. You're sitting there just you feel like toast. Depending on, you know, the guests and this and that. So who'd you have on tonight?
I was standing in for a host of one of the other shows. We had Simon Healy from Scariest Places, which is basically a most haunted booth.
Yeah, I've seen that. You're doing well there. They're quite funny guys, them. I've seen I don't know if you know of them. We had them on a few weeks ago. Actually, I think you've had them on, eh? Calamityville Horror.
We had them on with Mickey before.
Yeah, I've had Calamityville on, yeah.
Calamityville, yeah, they are funny, those. Now, I think they've dealt with Scariest Places before. I'm sure of it, and they are...
Oh, the girls, the Ravens... Ravens, you've had Ravens Press.
Yeah, Raven Retreat, yeah.
Ravens.
The Shadow Authors, they're absolutely hilarious. Funniest crew of people I've ever spoke to. But in the same breath, they are as mad as a box of frogs. There's only a few people on the planet crazier than them. I mean, take it as a compliment. I think they will. I think they'll probably high-five each other with me saying that. But, no, they were absolutely mental and funny in the same breath as well. They were hilarious.
Yes. Wasn't it... Was Marek Acor, was he doing... Was he in his mode, or was he just himself when he was on your show? Because I want to tell people about that, so people look him up through your show and your website.
We had Marek on before they had Simon. This was the first guest we had on was Marek, but he did himself, obviously not Marek, and then he brought Marek into it as well, so he did like half a show of Michael and half a show of Marek.
That's not bad. Oh shit, I've just realised something I never told you, or I don't think I told you. Actually, no, I did told you. I'm not proud of it. I didn't ask for it. Derek Acora started following me, Hidden Liverpool group on Twitter. And you know when you think, oh cool, Derek Acora's following you, and then a couple of seconds later you think, oh, Derek Acora's following us. You sort of, it's like you know, someone buying you a vase and dropping it, like, oh shit. Maybe that didn't work out to the best, but where'd you stand on Derek Acora, by the way? Sorry.
I have mixed opinions on psychics and mediums anyway, so I have to see it and to believe it with psychics and mediums, so...
No, that's a fair assumption. That's a fair way of looking at it, to be fair. I'm on your side.
You got it. Yeah.
But then again... Go ahead, Kate. I'm sorry. I keep putting in front of you.
Oh, no. I was just pretty much following what you were going to say.
Yeah. The thing that caught me the best about Derek Acorda is he's had drunk driving charges and all kinds of happened to him as of late. He hasn't had a very good run, to be fair.
Oh, he got a DUI?
Yeah, apparently he was up in court for a DUI and he was trying to sue people for slander and it didn't go very well. And then all of a sudden, it's gone back to cool again. He's got involved with some local guys to us called Past. It's a group called Past, and they're doing a show for Virgin Media, which is UK's cable company. And their shows, they've got Derek Acora as a resident medium, so I wish him all luck in the world with what he's doing, and let's hope no one rumbles him this time and see if he can get away with it for longer. But I'm slightly questionable on the guy, to be fair, but in the same breath, I mean, he obviously must be doing something right. I mean, he got as far as he did. Hell yeah.
I think basically, the guy's, and I apologize, Sam, if you like him or not, I think the guy's a bit of a twat, but... I apologize ahead of time for what I say, so you know something's coming and stuff like that. But where do you see yourself going with your show, Sam? I mean, I know it's for us. It's just we're just so kind of nonchalant sometimes, basically about hey, you want to do a show? You know, if not, they're like, what do you want to do a topic on? I'll ask Mo, and then I'll type it up after he says, all right, let's do this, and then we're ready to go. But you guys seem to be, like, on the ball. I was checking out your website. I loved your upgraded website that you did. I mean, it's a great job. I just want to give you all props to that. That was well done.
Thanks. Which we're trying to, like, go out of, like I was saying to you the other day, like, going out of Blog Talk, like, trying to do live broadcasts and stuff. And
well,
And doing face-to-face interviews as well as, because we put all his YouTube, we put all his radio shows up on YouTube now as well, so because it's easier than Blog Talk and YouTube, so.
Yeah, we podcast this show so that it actually sees Apple, or sees Apple users, and for the same reason that you do, because Blog Talk, as good as Blog Talk is for obviously getting us to where we are right now, as in, you know, people being able to hear us, it gets lost to the ether if you don't know how to use Blog Talk after the fact. So, I mean, I have another avenue to go to. That makes a lot of sense. It makes a hell of a lot of sense. But, again, I can see where you're going with the live interviews. If you can get to people to give them a live interview, then it's well worth it. It really is. To give you an example, I interviewed a guy about 9 months ago now. It was literally, I was on the street filming somewhere in Liverpool. And the guy came over and told me a story about a certain place in Liverpool. And I was like, right, can you repeat that for me if I throw a microphone in your face? And he was like, well, yeah. You'd be surprised how literally resilient people are when you say to them, listen, can I interview you? Most of the time they just go, yeah, cool, let's give it a go. So I was kind of blessed, to say the least, when you bump into people like that. But I mean, as you said yourself, Darren, sometimes when you come onto the radio or you come onto another person's show, you do feel a little bit nervous. It sort of quickly goes. That's the best part about it. Before you realise, you're just rambling onto a microphone, and if anyone's listening, great stuff. If they're not listening, then gutted. But yeah, that's my other rant over. But here's a question I've got for you, especially with regards to, obviously, the way the TV shows are going at the moment. But have you been watching any of the new technology which is coming out at the moment? Is there anything which has caught your eye or which has made you cringe a little bit, if you get what I mean?
Not really. I don't know, because I don't really look at the tech side. I'm not really bothered about the tech side, if you get what I mean. So.
No, I understand. I'm more thinking, though, if you ever out an investigation, if you've got the pieces of equipment there that you can use, then maybe is there a piece of equipment that stands out more, is what I mean. So
there isn't. Yeah. I can't think of any, to be honest. Yeah.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, some people are more traditional to the way they are. I mean, some people have their own ways of doing it. I just, you know, when you see some things that appear on some of the shows and you think, okay, that makes sense, that's a good idea, and then some make you cringe a little bit or make you scratch your head a little bit, but I don't know. Trying to keep up with it, it's too quick. It seems to just go very quick. Something new's out every couple of weeks. There's another piece of equipment here, another piece of equipment there. Can't keep up, but
I have a question for you real quick, Sam. What's your take on Canadians?
Oh God, you had to.
What?
Oh shit.
What's your take on Canadians?
I don't even know what you're about, so
okay, good. They're demons. They're demons.
I heard as well. I heard to say exactly the same, Kurt, that all Canadian people are utterly evil.
They're evil. They're from the seventh layer of El Dante's Inferno. Half of it was about Canada.
I agree.
Read the book Dante's Inferno, and they'll talk about Canada and how they still use the Queen on their dollars and stuff like that. They come up with their own idea or their own identity. They still hold on to the monarchy. But
we can't even
shake the reason
those
I said
fuckers
that,
off.
Kid, the funny thing is, I was watching the show. It's on Netflix. It was History Channel, World War II in color, and it said it took them like 2 years to find from all over the world colored actual battle scenes and battles that took place. And the funniest was in London. They were celebrating. And, you know, they just got done talking about Normandy Beach and the storming of Normandy Beach, and Canada had to side up with the Brits because they needed babysitting. So basically, as they're showing the scene of, like, everybody celebrating, you know, VE Day, you know, Victory in Europe Day, one guy walks in front of the camera on the side of his, you know, his soldier's uniform. It says Canada on it. I lost my shit when I saw that.
Oh, dude. Do you know what? Do you know in World War II, right, the roads were too busy when Winston Churchill had to go to one of his meetings. The roads were too busy for his car to stay on the road, right? The car got stuck in traffic. Winston Churchill went, stop here, I'll get out and walk. And that dude walked to the Houses of Parliament. That's how you do it. That's how you roll. You get out your car and go, fuck you guys, I'll do it myself. Right the way through the crowds, he got out of his car and just went for a stroll. That's legend that
he Churchill was just a proper guy to lead the country
at that time.
Dude's
a bad motherfucker.
He
was amazing.
Lucky. I mean, I think the UK. Sorry, Sam. I'm not trying to. You know, we go on these different rants here and there. Kind of like a roller coaster. You know, it's like we go back and forth. One minute we're talking about paranormal equipment. Next minute we're talking about World War II history. But basically, I'm just saying that I think the UK. I mean, you had the right leader at the right time. I mean, dude, if everything fell into place, he was born when he was, that he was the man. I mean, we had FDR who did his job. I mean, once we finally got into the party, but Americans are always late. They want to make money first, and then, you know, they'll come to the party late. But
dude,
that's like all the world wars for us.
You guys were only trying to get into Germany to build a McDonald's, apparently, weren't you? Just think, that's what I was told.
We were island hopping. We were island hopping. We hit the UK first, and then we had to go to the continentals. You know, and they're a strange bunch anyway. I could deal with everybody from Britain, but if they just get stranger. Once you get to the Netherlands, you're like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know,
dog wearing weirdos. Yeah, no, I got you.
Or Belgians. They're just good for making chocolate. That's about it. And maybe some beers, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Samantha, so who do you got coming up?
I've got loads of people coming up. I'm just getting the calendar up. We have caught Carl Hutchinson back on.
Okay.
Then we have.
Okay, I got.
Go on.
Is it? Do you find it hard? I mean, how many shows do you got under your name right now? How many different ones do you have? I know Gary Bradfield's got one. I know. Or does Gary go with you on your show? That's where I'm confused.
No, they've all got individual. You've got Gary and Alex with their show, Voices from the Dark.
I like Alex. I think.
And then you've got Joe and Carl on with a different show called CJ Paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Were you tied into Ross with Paranormal King for a while?
Yeah, for Archived.
Oh, so did you break away from that and do your own thing?
No, I was still on Blog Talk. Ross just was like, do you want to put your archive shows on? And I was like, okay then. And then obviously he broke me off from it, so.
Because
people weren't getting interested in my shows, apparently, so.
Ross is from Canada, that's what happens. It's just the way it is. Sorry, Ross.
They try to take your identity. They'll steal your identity. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen, Samantha.
Nah, it's all good. Right, have you been listening to the media lately with regards, have you heard the Kanaka Chase? Have you heard about the black-eyed children encounters in Kanaka Chase? Have you been listening to that crap? I mean,
I just see it and don't even bother reading it because I know it's a load of crap, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to have come from somewhere, but this guy, Lee Strickland or whatever, isn't it? Lee Brickley, that was it, Lee Brickley, the guy behind it, he seems to be, every time you see him, he's hugging his book, trying to, you know, obviously he's self-promoting his show and the likes, but I don't know, I'm struggling to see what that has to do with Britain, but all of a sudden, a lot of Americanized haunting seem to be appearing over this side. I mean, you've got the black-eyed kids. All of a sudden, by the way, guys, I'm just going to be afraid if you want to. There's been Slenderman sightings in Britain. Jesus Christ. How can there be a Slenderman sighting in Britain when he doesn't exist and he was made up? But nevertheless, people are still investigating them, so.
Hold on. Lee Brickley wrote about the pig man?
Yeah, man. That useless piece of skin, yeah.
Your host, werewolves and the pig man.
He's an absolute nutball. I don't know.
Is he a nutter, dude?
I'd like to give him 10 minutes of just trying to work out what's going on, but to be fair, I don't know if I'd ever get that time back in my life, and I think I'd feel robbed. So I'd never be bothered speaking to him if I could help it. But again, as Sam said a little bit earlier, the way the paranormals go, and it's like there's certain people who go at what they're doing alone, and there's certain people who obviously like to affiliate, and as good as it is, Sam, you like to affiliate with the other groups, I think that's brilliant, I think that's the right way to do it. That Lee Brickley seems to be his own one-man band, effectively, which is never the right way, I don't think. I mean, you need other people around you to show you where you do something slightly wrong or where you do something perfectly right. There needs to be people who can obviously guide you to where you need to be. And sadly, I think Lee Brickley is just a book writer or an author. Book writer, am I going? An author. So that's my rant over about him. Jesus Christ, I'm taking the rant off today. I need to stop it. Catch me bleeding breath.
Oh, it's all right. We're going to ping you at 3. That's all we're sitting there Skyping about here.
Yeah.
We're sitting there talking on Facebook. 3 a.m. getting pinged to, like, the devil's time, right? Is it 3 a.m. or is it 3:15?
devil's time for me. Early hours in the morning when I get up, I'm ready for work. That's devil's time. You know, when you're sitting there, it's still dark, like, the fuck, that's what you say.
Yeah, I just say I refuse to connect to the internet for 3 straight days, dude. So,
I'll just leave life to be quiet for a little while, but yeah. So,
okay, let me tell you something funny, Sam. Okay, this is funny. Do you go by Sam or Samantha?
Sam.
Okay, Sam. Mo gets in this argument. This is when Mo and I first started, you know, we connected through Mickey's show and stuff like that. And we got to talking, and Mo had a battle going with, I still remember this because I learned from Mo on this. You know, I learned how to do it proper from Mo. First thing he does, he's going at it with some guy on Facebook or wherever. I'm not too sure where. And it's getting heated. And the guy makes some insulting things to Mo, and Mo basically gets on Google Earth. He can take phone numbers. Gets on Google Earth, and he gets a picture of this guy's house.
I don't remember.
Sends the picture to the guy and said, "Is that your red car right there? Is that story? Is that close, Mo?"
That was Bob on. Yeah.
Okay.
That was it,
dude.
It's cold. I sort of like it was. It's cold underneath that bridge at the end of your road. How's your car doing? And then gave him his registration number and sent him a picture of his card, and the conversation and argument quickly stopped. But again, that was just comedy value. That was hilarious. All because he didn't know what the hell to do. But in saying that, I've used it on Kate as well. Drop a pin on Kate.
Yeah, I've done it.
How's
too.
That restaurant? Well, how's that restaurant you're in?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Okay. All right, Smith. I'm sitting there. We're at a steakhouse, my ex-girlfriend and all that. We were sitting there. And all of a sudden, Mo pings me, and he goes, "Is this where you're at?" And I'm looking at it, and I'm not sure, because she lives in like a town, city, kind of 30 miles from me at the time. And I'm sitting there going, I go, "What's this? Are we near here?" And she goes, "Yeah, that's exactly where we're at right now." I'm like, "How the hell is it?" And then for some reason, you could only do it on Android. You couldn't do it on iPhone. And then didn't they stop it automatically?
Not for me, no. I can still do it now.
Oh, I do it now. I do it with people. I get addresses, and then I just go to Google Earth and just kind of go in on it. I do it a couple times with you, Mo, just to see if I'm doing it right. It's like a test run. Like, Sam, yeah. I use Mo as, like, my Mr. Miyagi when it comes to crazy shit. When it comes to stuff like that. Yeah, he's like that. I'll be Danielson on that. But that way, when I go on my own little, like, rants on someone, I pulled the same thing, but I make sure I'm doing it right. So,
like,
Sam,
here's
a question. You had to have... Yeah, go ahead.
You go first.
Well, no, go ahead, dude.
Okay, if you could pick anywhere on the planet, pick a perfect place for you to investigate, where would it be and why?
I've got my favorites.
It's not even a hard question, that. Come on, that's an easy question. Everyone's got the perfect place.
Alcatraz.
Now, is there a reason for Alcatraz, or just one of those it's always stood out because it's cool?
Because it's a prison. It's an old prison, isn't it? So, that sounds stupid. And a lot of things have gone on there, so.
Sam, I got a better place for you. And it's a prison, too. I've been to both places. I've been to Alcatraz, and I've been to Eastern State Penitentiary. Go to Eastern State Penitentiary. I mean, the creep factor, because there's not many people there. You go to Alcatraz, and it's a mob scene. I mean, people from all over the world are running around snapping shots, and they're so, like, weird about where you can go and stuff like that. But Eastern State, you know, when Taps was there, and I think Ghost Adventures, GAC, was there. I'm not too sure, but that place is creepy. That place, definitely add that to your tour when you want to do Alcatraz. Plus, it'll be cheaper if you land on the East Coast and somehow cruise the country and end up on the West Coast. You'll save a lot of money that way, too.
Oh, God. So, go on, Kate. Where's your perfect place? You might as well give it a go, see where we end up on this one.
My perfect place? Oh, the Suicide Forest, dude.
And your car, yeah, I'm on your team with that one. I think the only problem with going to Suicide Forest is I just wouldn't like to walk around that corner and then see the inevitable.
fault. But, dude,
Holy
you thing. Can't tell me you would not take shots of that. Yeah, I mean, as hard as it would be not to pop off the shot.
I'd feel the most guiltiest person on the planet. I'd be cutting the dude down and everything, saying, no, come on, let's go. I would honestly, I reckon it'd ruin me. That's the only reason I'm very apprehensive on the place, because I'd feel too...
You wouldn't...
I'd be too unnerved that maybe in my fans, because the way I look at it...
I'd talk you into doing a selfie with the corpse, dude. That would be freaking epic.
Biblically cruel. Jesus. You're getting fucking worse, you. Want to take a selfie? Oh, my God.
Mo twerking right by the corpse and get that on video and... As some background music, like a beat to it or something, Sam.
Can you imagine
that's
it?
That's going to be our upload.
If we knock into it, it's fucking head fall off or something. Oh, that'd be
yeah,
all
but it would be creepy,
me.
Though. I mean, it would be creepy running into that. But, I mean,
dude,
Alcatraz...
The thing is, though,
where
is
would
me
you
we're
go,
talking about. No, this is me we're talking
where
about.
Would you
I would
go?
Actually probably run into it anyway. Me, personally, if I could go anywhere...
Money's not an issue. Nope, money's definitely not an issue.
Is taboo an issue?
Taboo's not an issue because, you know, if you do it, and I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Since we did already talk taboo on this topic.
Yeah.
Taboo's definitely not an issue.
Sound. I'd go to Auschwitz. But I'd go to Auschwitz with a lot of respect behind it. I wouldn't go to Auschwitz and start screaming who's here and who's there. I'd go to Auschwitz with the most respect you could ever take to a place. Just because I think of a place like this, too many people were silenced. I think maybe
yeah.
It could do with some closure, I'd say. So maybe I'd say that.
That's the most brutal, I mean, just to think about that place.
Yeah,
I
there
mean,
you go.
That overshadows the suicide forest and,
party people
on
it as well.
Yeah, the suicide forest is just like people that want to die. You know, people that are screwed up want to die. They're too scared to live, or they got issues or stuff. That doesn't bother me, you know? Don't get me wrong. I mean, if I see a bloated body that stinks, I just put two things up my nostrils and take some pictures. Aside that, then I'd report it, you know?
Dude, you are bad. You're bad.
Oh, dude, I take so many pictures. Hide the camera so the cops wouldn't take the camera. And just, you know, and just say I was a lost hiker.
You're
and then
funny.
Pass them on to like you, like for my little messages I send you every once in a while.
Yeah.
we'll
God.
Keep that off the air.
Yeah, no, stop.
Sam, you don't want to know about that.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not, there's no perfect place to investigate. That's the worst part. You sort of, you've got to be careful where you go because obviously... You will eventually end up at one time standing on someone's toes, whether it be this side or the other side. So you've got to be quite careful with stuff like that. But I don't know. I think it's just the way investigation's gone. As with the show we done last week, investigation seems to have it seems to be heading more towards the taboo at the moment. People want to go to the places which are more taboo.
Go on, carry on. It's all right.
No, you're cool. I'm having a little bit of a rant about taboo places. You've got to be careful when you go to certain places, but that seems to be the place that seems to be the type of place people go to now. You want a fight with your dog?
No, it's my partner's just had a takeaway, so.
Oh, so the dog's now all of a sudden awake and ready, and like, where's my piece of takeaway?
Yeah.
Sounds like my dog.
What did you get to eat, Sam?
I had mine earlier.
Trooper, she had it before the show. See, that was thoughtfulness, that.
I was just eating sweets, so...
That was me, right? About 10 past 10, I sat down and I'm talking, and I grabbed on it. I've got a biscuit, and I started eating my biscuit and realised I was on the show and started talking with a mouthful of biscuit. I was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. But... No, I don't get embarrassed anymore, so I just sort of troop it through it. Like an absolute crap. So.
All right, Samantha, so if you had a dream guest to come on your show, who would it be?
I know the answer to this.
Okay.
That's an unfair question.
You had a second favorite
Yeah, second favorite dream guest.
No.
Fifth favorite dream guest. Who would it be?
John Zaffis.
John Zaffis.
Ooh, that'd be actually really cool to have Zaffis on there. That would be cool. But the thing is, though, my thing would keep turning to the Warrens. You know what I'm saying? I'd be so locked into him and the Warrens that, you know, just to go that angle, Zaffis would be awesome. What about you, Mo?
Yeah.
If you could have a fifth one.
Who would I bring on? No, I'd bring one person on. I'd bring on, what's his name, that biblical dickhead, Ryan Buell. And I'd ask them, what the hell? Explain to me everything you've done wrong in the past 10 years and explain to me why you've done it, please. And I'd make him answer the questions. Like, I'd make him, if he didn't answer them, I'd be pissed off with him. I'd like, the fuck you need to answer these questions? Get them fucking answered. And I keep
Dude,
them there until he
gets... So good. That's why, I picked that too, just because that would be well worth it.
And then at the end of it, I'd just have a fight with him at the end. Just like, me and him just blows going.
Yeah, but the thing think of the directions all the TV shows have gone. I mean,
yes.
From, let's say, Paranormal State, you know, where basically they weren't using any very minimal tech.
Yes.
They relied on a couple real questionable psychics who have been outed, a couple of them, in the work, and, you know, but just think how it's changed now. Now it's more like, it's hard to explain. It's, I don't know, I mean, you're either into the investigative side. Let's say you're watching GAC, or you're into TAPS, or you're into some of these other shows with Chad Lindbergh, Ghost Stalkers or something. Or
yes.
You're into, let's say, shows like Paranormal Witness or A Haunting. See, I'm more into, like, A Haunting or Paranormal Witness. Because
yeah.
I like to hear, I'm a storyline person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's weird. But I think that's where it's kind of separating now when we're talking about media on TV. You know, you're either the investigative side or you're, like, the story side. Could be wrong.
No,
but it's just my
observation. I think you're there. I think you're close. I wish there was one happy medium, when I say happy medium, that's a bad analogy. There was one show which covered everything, because don't get me wrong, as much as we rag on the shows, as much as I may say this isn't right, or maybe I wouldn't do this way, or I don't like the way that's done, we sort of need them, because without them, we can't, how do I put it? It shows us the yes, the no, this place, that place. Half the places that people investigate now, they wouldn't investigate if it wasn't on a show in the first place, because the show is what brings them all awareness to it, if you get me. So I think we kind of need all the shows, but in the same breath, even the shows which aren't very good, the Ryan Buell, the Paranormal States, even shows like that, or Ghost Mine. I didn't like Ghost Mine because, you know, it's a hole in the ground. Why would you go... bother looking in a hole in the ground.
Okay.
But nevertheless, we need them because it obviously shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly, effectively.
Well, I just got on Facebook. I apologize. There's news that somebody's spreading around. You guys have probably, hopefully you haven't seen this. This is funny. Paranormal teams against the Ouija. Ouija boards are like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, God.
Opening the door, dude. I'm gonna set it. There's gonna be no liking for this. okay,
don't it,
bullshit.
Please don't
bullshit.
It.
Okay.
Right.
I just said bullshit.
Care. It's the end of
the
show.
Oh, we gotta get going. Samantha, tell us who you got coming up.
Carl Hutchinson on Thursday and Zach in Denver from Night Watchers on Saturday.
Superb.
What time?
8 p.m. UK time.
Okay, and that would be 3 p.m. Eastern time in the United States. Anything else coming up?
We've got loads, but there isn't time.
No, that's cool. Right. Okay then. Kate?
Alright.
I will bid you a good evening. This looks like where the end is, so I will bid you a good evening. And exactly the same to you, Sam. Thank you very much for coming on. And I know it's been a bit of a hard one for you, because you don't, obviously, by the sound of it, you're not very comfortable being interviewed, so you've done really well.
Yeah.
And you can go and be happy in the knowledge that you've done it and get your head down. Thank you very much.
Excellent
job,
Sam.
All right, then, Sam.
Have a great... Sam, thanks for coming on, really. Seriously, you did a great job. No need to be nervous.
No,
you
don't.
You put up with us.
You're welcome anytime.
If you put up with us, you're good.
Okay.
All right, have a great night, everybody.
All right, bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye-bye.